चैतन्य मनो विष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वरूपाकदामाय ददाति स्वरूपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुं श्रीपदाकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवं श्रीरूपं सहगजातं सहगजगन्नाथं तन्तं सजीवं साद्वैतं साद्वैतं परिजनसहितं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णदां सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखां he obeys the Supreme Lord's orders, he becomes happy. If he does not, he becomes unhappy. Therefore, the living entity creates his own happiness or unhappiness. The Supreme Lord does not enforce this on anyone. So, what I'm going to try to talk or speak about today, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the Lord's and all the Vaishnavas, is that what is this happiness we are talking about? How can we be happy? And the answer Srila Prabhupada gives is that we have to follow the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So we have to understand what is our dharma. What is the dharma of the living entity? The dharma of the living entity is basically to worship the Lord with love and devotion. And this has to do that they have two qualities. It has to be uninterrupted and unmodified. So it has to be pure devotional service. Why does Krishna has this happiness? Because the happiness, actually Krishna is happiness. Krishna is Ananda. So if you want something Ananda, then you have to go to the place who, or go to the person who has it. So if you want happiness, then you have to go to Krishna. To understand this, we have to understand what is devotional service. So what bhakti is? What is the position of bhakti? And before we understand this, so to understand in the context of where we are as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, let us understand a bit about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because this bhakti that we are talking about is very specific. It is something that has been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or before Madhavendra Puri, the bhakti we were talking about in Brahma Sampradaya was different. This was Aishwarya Bhakti. But Madhavendra Puri got this Madhurya Bhakti, Braj Bhakti. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to distribute this bhakti. So we have to understand this, where we are, what we are actually aspiring for, what is our goal. Because if you don't know what your goal is, then you can't end up anywhere. So you have to know where you are going. And if you understand that, what we are looking for, what we have, you know, what is our goal, what we want to achieve in our life, then we can go towards it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what kind of bhakti does he have? So little bit of pasta from Gaiga Samhita, in which Gaiga Bhumi writes that one day Krishna was sitting on a stone and then he looked next to him and he saw a reflection of a very beautiful boy. And he was thinking, who is this boy? He's so attractive. Then he looked around and there was three gopis going past. And he called the gopis, hey gopis, come over here, I will show you something. And the gopis came and says, you know who this boy is? The gopi started laughing and they said, this is the misfortune of being the Supreme Lord, that you cannot enjoy your own beauty. You know, he said, if you really want to enjoy the beauty, you know, Radharani enjoys it to the fullest. And then she sees this beauty and enjoys it and goes into bliss to that level, and she basically faints. In Amandari, the Kunjas, Radharani, when Krishna comes there, Radharani sees the beauty of Krishna. Then Krishna has this desire, you know, I want to enjoy this life. But he cannot do it in Krishna form because he is the Vishaya, he is the object of the love. Now he has to take the position of Radharani to actually see what Radharani is seeing in Krishna. And that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. So he goes to Radharani and he wants to find this. Right? So Radharani is Mahabhava Sarupani. She is the form of the Mahabhava. Right? And she hides this in her heart. Right? Now, I don't know what you call that. You know those Chinese thing where you have like a door and then you open one, there's another one of the same one and you open it. And you know what those are? And you know, anyone knows the word?
I think Russian dogs.
Yeah, it's just like door, you open one, there's another one of the same one, a smaller one. And then you keep opening about 10 of those and finally you get a little one which is the final one. So Radharani hides his love in a heart like this. Right? And she puts it in a box, right? And then put that box in another one. And she seals with wax, you know. So when you melt the wax and then it becomes hard, then you know. When it's melted, but when it becomes hard, it becomes sealed, right? Then you put another box like this. So there's multiple boxes like this and Radharani hides this in the deep chamber of her heart. You know? And then Krishna wants this love. This Mahabhava of Radharani. So what she does is, she creates separation. Because when there is separation, there is a fire. When there is fire, there is heat. When there is heat, it melts the wax. And then it is very easy to open the boxes. Right? So the pastimes, this happens, is one of the last pastimes that Krishna actually performed in Braj before he went to Mathura. This is at Prem Sarovar. So Radha and Krishna are sitting there and then they are enjoying the pastime in the kunjas there. And then there is a king of bees, right? Madhu, the king of bees. He smells the fragrance. This is the quality of the bees. They can always go for the nectar. Flies go for the filth and the bees go for the nectar. So when he smells the nectar, right, something very fragrant, right? And he started folding it slowly. And he went there. And where it was? Coming out of Radharani's mouth. So he was buzzing in front of the mouth. And Radharani was going, moving her hand like this and trying to chase it away. And then Madhu Mangal saw that. And what did Madhu Mangal do? He was chasing the bees away. Right? And once the bees ran away, he came and said that Madhusudan is gone. And he's not going to come back. And when the Radharani had this, that Madhusudan is gone, right? He meant the bees, but another name for Madhusudan is Krishna himself. She became, you know, started crying. She went into separation. She went into Vipuranga Bhava. Even though Krishna was just sitting next to her. So as this, and then the tears started coming. And when you start crying, you can't see anything. Now she was in separation and she can't see Krishna. And Krishna seeing her crying, you know, seeing how. And then he started crying. And when he started crying, he can't see Radharani. And then the tears dropped basically became like Yamuna. And it flooded the lake, it created a lake in there, which is known as Prem Sarovar. When Krishna actually saw this and he says, I have to go and do some other work, I have to go to Mathura, I have to kill Kamsa. And if I have to go, and if the longer I stay there, the more she is going to be attached to me and it will be much, much harder for her to be in separation. So Krishna leaves there and he goes to the place called Imlikala, right? So he went there and he was sitting down and thinking about this, thinking about Radharani. And Sham Ranga became Gauranga. So when Radharani came later on, he saw that Sham Sundar has become Gaur Sundar now. And he asked, what happened? Yeah. And then he says, okay, this is what happened, I'm going to perform a pastimes in my next life as Gaur Sundar. So this is who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to take the form of Radharani, a devotee, and try to actually see Krishna from the perspective of a devotee, or more or less from the perspective of Radharani. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us. He has come to give us Madhurya Bhakti. And how he is giving it? It's like a shower. Madhurya Kandambini. Kandambini means like a shower. Right? So when there is a shower going on, it's not specific that you're going to fall on that person or that favorite person. It falls on everyone. So anybody who wants it can take it. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this material, even the Mayavadis, they actually even got mercy of Krishna. You know, this is the mercy of So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving. And he's giving it through Rupa Goswami. From the point of six Goswami. So the position of Rupa Goswami is that he is giving Praja Bhakti. That's what his specific thing is. This is what the main thing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. You are taking Praja Bhakti. Other people have got bhakti as well, like Rama Maharaj, the Kumaras, Dhruva. But it was not the same bhakti. Right? It was Vaikunth Bhakti, it was Aishwarya Bhakti. But what Rupa Goswami is giving, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving is Braj Bhakti. Actually, it's more specific is Radha Bhakti. Because that's what he has a devotion of Mahabhava. And that's what he is giving him. So we have to understand that Krishna is the embodiment of all the rasas. Right? We have got five kinds of rasas, right? Santaras, Dasyaras, Satyaras, Vatsalyaras, and Madhuryaras. So these rasas are there. In Vaikuntha Dham, it's mostly Dasyaras. Right? So to understand why we say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave complete ras, Madhurya ras is complete. And what you might be saying that the other ones are not. They're complete in their own sense, but they're not fully complete. To understand this, let's look at the analogy of the material world. So the first thing that is ether. In ether there is sound. Right? The next one is air. Air has feelings, right? You can feel the air. But it also has sound. So air has both things. It has sound and we can have the feel of it, right? Then comes fire. So fire has sight, right? You can see it. There's a form in there. It also has sound and it also, you can feel the fire. Right? Then comes water. Water has taste and it has the other three. Sound, feel and sight. And air has all four of them including smell. Right? So this, the aroma is in the air. So similarly, when you look at Dasyaras or Santaras. Santaras is basically appreciating. There is no relationship in there. Dasyaras, you have a seven and a master relationship. In Satyaras, there is equality there, there is friendship in there. But they also serve. So there is appreciation as well as servitude people. Right? And Vatsalyaras comes with Karunaras. So you have compassion, you have consideration, you think that Krishna is, the Lord is subordinate to you. But it has also three others. Yashoda Maya also serves it. She is also like a friend to Krishna. Right? And but Madhurya Ras has everything in there. Right? So that's why we say Madhurya Ras is most complete. Right? So even this Madhurya Ras in Dwarka, it is mixed Ras because it is also mixed with Aishwarya Ras. But in Vrindavan, it's complete, it's pure. And it's only Madhuras, it's only sweetness. So this is, we have to understand that this ras is coming from Krishna. So these are the four rasas. So before we go any further, let's understand what is ras, right? And in Bhakti Vedanta Sindhu, Act of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada explains this, right? So it has four qualities. Ras has to be, you know, when we say dasa ras, sakya ras, vatsalya ras, these are the same powers. So these are the powers. On its own is not a ras, right? So suppose you want to buy garba, you know, there's suji there, there's ghee there, you know, there's butter there, there's sugar there, there's water and milk in there, you might some put fruits and nuts in there, you know. So that's a complete thing is garba, right? And that's what this says. So this rasas, when you say patsalya ras, sakya ras, you know, on its own is not there, right? So we need to have other ingredients in there. And the other ingredients is that, so this is the same bhav, which are the main bhava of our individual or the jiva. If you want, then you need vibhav. Vibhav is made of two things, or three things. What are those? Vishaya and ashraya. So Krishna is the vishaya, he is the object of love. And the devotees are the ashraya. So you need the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? And you need the devotees, right? So the Krishna is there, the devotees is there. You have got a relationship with Krishna, for example. Let's say you are in a friendship with Krishna. But how does this react? Now, how do you actually get there? Right? So it's thing called Udipana. Udipana is stimulus. So something you see that reminds you of Krishna. For example, you see the peacock feather. So when you see the peacock feather, it reminds you of Krishna. When you see the color of Krishna, right? Just like when Radharani sees the tamal tree, it reminds of Krishna. So these are called Udipana. You can see the footprints of Krishna. You see fruit of Krishna. Somebody is playing fruit. These are called Udipanas, and they remind you. And some of these have different kind of reaction. So sometimes when you see Krishna in that way, and people get stunned, right? So these are involuntary reaction on the body. You start crying, tears start standing, you have no control over this. These are called sthayibhava, sattvikbhava. So these are permanent, you know, it comes involuntary. And then the last one is so anubhava are the ones that follows. So before that is the anubhava. Anubhava is basically the actions you're gonna take. So now you have a relationship with Krishna. For example, Mother Yashoda. What does Mother Yashoda do for Krishna? She cooks for him, she bites him, she dresses him. So in Vatsalya, this is the reaction, this is the activities you do, right? And then you have got, and when you are doing those activities, you are thinking of Krishna, there is different reaction which is called Sattvikbhava. And then there are 33 other bhavas which are Brahmachari bhavas. And this comes and disappears. For example, you worry about Krishna, you know, you get scared something is going to happen to Krishna, you know. And sometimes there is impedance Krishna. Now Krishna has all these bhavas, right? And it is there with them together. So we might have one of them. We might be only dasya, sakya, vatsalya, you know. But Krishna has all of them incomplete, right? So there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you say verse 43, chapter 43, verse 17. The various, so this is when Lord Krishna enters the arena in Mathura, right? So he's with Balaram, he's entering the arena there. And there are different types of people there, and they're seeing him in different way. So the various groups of people in the wrestling arena regarded Krishna in different ways when he entered it with his elder brother. The wrestler saw in Krishna as a lightning bolt, the ordinary man as the best of men. The woman is the cupid incarnate, the cowherd man is the reality, the impious rulers as the chastiser, his parents as the child,
the king of Bhoja is there, and unlearned as universal form, the yogi says the absolute truth, and the Vishnu says the supreme worshipable deity. So, the vessel saw him as thunderbolt, indestructible, hard. So, what is this ras? This is Virya ras. Right? So, apart from those five main rasas, there are seven other rasas. Right? Men of Madhura, they saw Krishna as the best of men. Right? It was wonder. Because they saw Krishna, how can he be served so nice? They were in wonder, you know. Women saw him as stupid, Madhuri ras. They fell in love with him. Cowherd boys, there is two rasas. So cowherd in friendship and hasya ras. So whenever there is friendship, there is always laughter going on. Right? And they were not worried because they had seen Krishna kill so many demons before. To do them, oh, this is no big deal. While everybody was scared, you know, what's going to happen to Krishna? The cowherd boy says, oh, don't worry about it. He has killed so many. He's lifted deep over the hill. What's these two people going to do to him? So they were not worried. So they were laughing and joking and things like that. Yeah. Friends of Kamsa, they saw him as anger. That he has to be punished. Who is this boy, little boy? How dare he actually enter the arena of king like that? How can he carry the truth of the elephant? Because he killed the elephant before he entered there. He had blood on his body. And you say, who is this guy? What does he think of himself? This is where the friends of Krishna were comes away thinking. They were angry about him. How dare he? He's our king. You should have some respect for him. Right. Parents and the elders, they saw him as Vatsalya Ras and Karuna Ras. So Vatsalya Ras always comes with Karuna because parents think they are older than Krishna. So Krishna needs to be protected. Yashoda Maya always thinks about protecting Krishna, you know. And she always changes mantras and things like that. You know? So they're thinking, you know, this is not fair. Now, the friends of Kamsa were thinking, you know, how dare he enter like that? And the parents are thinking, you know, Vatsalya Ras, you know, these are little kids, you know, and these guys are so big, you know. There's no comparison in there, you know. There's no fairness in there. Right? So there's another Ras in there. What was Kamsa thinking? Because he knew from the time before when Krishna was born that Krishna was the one who was going to kill him, right? So he was thinking, seeing Krishna as dead person for Bhayankar Ras. Right? And an unintelligent person, you know, seeing Krishna all over with blood and everything, caring like that, and they were thinking Krishna in disgust, you know. Look at this guy, you know, he's not even killing him now. He's coming in front of everybody, right? So there was the other. Yogi saw him as the absolute truth. Because they were seeing him in the Paramatma form. That he is the Paramatma in that. And the Vishnis saw him as their worshipable Lord. So they were thinking him in the Dasya. So Krishna has displayed all these 12 rasas simultaneously. So depending on what ras you have, you can see Krishna in that form. So this is how different devotees, you know, they worship Krishna in different form. You know, it's the same Lord everywhere. The Krishna in Mathura is not different from Krishna in Vrindavan. But the difference is the devotees there. Because they see him differently and Krishna acts accordingly. So if you have read or heard the pastime about Gokumar, when he goes from one place to another place, he sees there is a difference there. When he goes to Vaikuntha, he wants to give a hug to Lord Narayan. He says, no, no, you can't do that, you know. When he goes to Ayodhya, you know, he wants to do the same, but there's so much restriction, you know, you can't go in front of the king, you know. And then he goes to Dwarka, you know, now he sees Krishna in the form he sees, but he's dressed differently. And Krishna takes him aside, he said, no, this is not the place for you. When he goes to Vrindavan, Then Krishna gives him a hug and both of them find him. Krishna said, I've been waiting for so long. Where have you been? I've been missing you. So this is the rasa. So Krishna exhibits his rasa according to the time and time and places. Just like a father whom I work in the office, you know, he's a different relationship at work. When he's at home, he's a different relationship. When he's his friends, he's a different relationship. He's the same person, but in different places, he acts differently. So the supreme dharma for all of us to actually attend this loving devotional service onto the transcendental Lord. Right. So we have to understand this. We have to find out what is our state, how it is, and then we can actually worship Him in that form. So we are going to talk about bhakti. So we are talking about Braj Bhakti. So for Braj Bhakti, Rupa Goswami says that there are five things that you need. The 64 ways of doing devotional service, angas of bhakti, limbs of bhakti. But the five of them are most important. Which are those five? Sadhu Sangha, chanting the holy name. Next one? Srimad Bhagavatam, if you are doing, so you are the read or you listen, you know. And did you worship? And then you are being in the dham. So these are five most powerful ones. And if you follow one of them, or if you can follow multiple of them, this actually helps you to get Braj Bhakti. Of all of them, which one is the most important? So which one is the most important?
Association
of the devotees. Chanting of the holy name comes with the association of the devotees. So we, you know, just like we are here today, we are chanting just because we are in association of devotees. Right? You can chant on your own, but when you are with devotees, most of the time you want to chant, they're going to come out of you. You hear the Bhagavatam classes, that automatically comes. You are having a concern of the deities, devotion is going on there. Yeah. When we say devotion, it doesn't mean you have to go on the altar and do the arati. Right? The person who is doing the arati is using his different limbs of his body to do the arati. You can do the same thing using your eyes. Right? So when you have darshan of the deities, when the arati is going, it is no different. You have, don't have to go and say, I want to do the arati. And somebody asks you, go and do it. Otherwise, you can have the same benefit. It's exactly no different by actually seeing the arati and then actually doing the arati. So all these things are there. Now why Sadhu Sangha is most important? So again, we have to find out the origin of bhakti. How does bhakti? Nature of bhakti is that it is independent. Right? Bhakti comes from?
Bhakti.
Bhakti. Bhakti comes from bhakti. Right? The origin of bhakti is bhakti. Right? Now you might be thinking, okay, let's find out where does the bhakti come from. You know, does it come from if you do pious activities, right? If you do good karma, it does not come that way, right? Because there's so many people who have done such nice bhakti, they have done tapasya, they have done charity work, you know, all those things in there. Do they have devotional service? Do they have bhakti? No. The next thing you might say is that, okay, bhakti comes from Krishna, mercy of Krishna. Does that sound right? You get bhakti from this Krishna. Does that sound right? Should sound right, huh? Krishna has bhakti, he can give you bhakti. 50%. Even less than that. You know, how many people you know Krishna gave direct bhakti? You can say it comes from Krishna, he can do it. But the problem is that if Krishna gives bhakti, then he should give it to everybody. Does everybody get bhakti? Right? Now Krishna is causeless, right? If his causeless bhakti comes and we give it to everybody, does it go to everybody? It doesn't go to everybody. So then we can't really say that it comes from Krishna. So where does bhakti come from? Then we can say it comes from devotees. Then you can again have a question, right? If devotees are there to give bhakti, they are giving courses bhakti, why doesn't it go to everybody? Even devotees don't give bhakti to everybody. Right? So there has to be a question there. There is discrimination. Right? So do the devotees discriminate? Do they think I should give bhakti to this person and that bhakti to that person? They do. Because Madhyama Deva is, they discriminate. Oh, he's a devotee, he's a senior devotee, he's like my friend, you know. Okay, this one needs help. This one are atheists, I don't want to even know about them, you know, like that. So this bhakti comes from there. So this is why sadhu sangha is very important. Because by sadhu sangha, right, you can get bhakti. They teach you how to do bhakti, you know. Does that make sense? And the other angas basically follows that. Right? So when we talk about sadhu sangha, what does it basically mean? It doesn't mean you go and take prasadam with few devotees and that sadhu sangha. To some extent it is because you want Krishna's prasadam. But sadhu sangha basically means talking about Krishna, getting more knowledge about Krishna, talking about it. Even you get together, see, they just sit and talk about everything else apart from Krishna, then there is no point, you know. It's not really sadhu sangha, you know. You talk about this virus going around, you know, that's not devotional service, you know. We spend so much time, you know, on all those things, you know. So when you go to devotees' place, you sit down, you know, you talk about Krishna, you try to understand how everything is in relation to Krishna. Because what we are looking for, anything that is attractive, anything that we, you know, have any desire for, you know, looking at anything, is what we are looking for Krishna. Because these are all qualities of Krishna. If you look at a beautiful flower, you know, that beauty comes, is actually Krishna. So if you understand this, that we are looking for Krishna little by little in different things, then if you want the whole package, you just look at Krishna. Krishna has everything. So rather than running around, you know, looking at a beautiful woman or, you know, looking at a nice house or a car or whatever, you know, Krishna has everything in him. So if you go to him, then you don't have to shop around everywhere. One shop, you get everything, you know. One place, you get everything in there. So this is the importance of our bhakti. Bhakti is basically Lord's mercy. We have to understand that. And even though the Lord may not want to give bhakti to somebody, but if a devotee desires to give bhakti to that person, even the Lord is obliged to actually give bhakti to that person. So this is the position of a devotee. Now we have innumerable examples, you know, just like Prahlad Maharaj, you know. Lord Narasimhadeva was so angry with Hiranyakashipu. He even killed him. But because Prahlad Maharaj wanted to give mercy to him, right, he wanted to help his father, Narasimhadeva. So even though Narasimhadeva was so upset with him, so angry with him, you know, same thing we hear about the pastime of Haridas Thakur. Even though Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to actually kill them, you know, so many times, but he could not because Haridas Thakur was always praying for their mercy. Yeah. So this is the special position of devotees. And one thing I have noticed, especially at the moment, you know, with all these lockdowns and everything in there, there are a lot of family violence going on. You know, that is basically increased. If you hear the news and things like that, it has exponentially increased, you know, because people are locked down home, so they are retreating, you know, before they had a way to get out. Now people are trying to, you know, whoever can get work, you know, away from home, they're trying to go to office and work, you know, because they can't stand each other. So this thing has made a lot of marriages, and it also broke a lot of marriages. And I've seen this, I was talking to some devotees, and we are finding this quite a bit happening within our devotee circle as well. And it's very unfortunate, you know. And this is not only because of this, it is also happening because of the way we see things, you know. We read Bhagavatam and we read one part of it and we think that is it. You know, for example, renunciation, you know. They've been married for 1 year, had a kid, and the next thing, you know, the husband is sleeping on the floor, you know, the wife is sleeping on the bed. Now, we have to understand this is sadhana bhakti, we are not there. We have to understand the position of a devotee. Of all the things, the most dangerous thing, devotee is the devotional status, bhakti is very precious. Right? But there is a, when you do Vaishnava Prat, then you can lose everything. Right? It's like a mad alpha. Right? And sometimes we forget that when we come to the temple, we see other devotees, hey, Hare Krishna Prabhu, you know, pay downwards and everything. We forget that your own family, your wife who is a devotee, right, who is initiated, we don't treat them like devotees. We don't treat our children like devotees. What is the definition of a devotee? How do you know someone is a devotee? The general thing is that if somebody accepts that Krishna, Lord Ramchandra, Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are jivas who are subordinate to Him, right? And our position is to serve Krishna, right? Then He is devotee. They might not be doing everything else in there, right? But we are devotees. If you look at it, everyone is a devotee. Because where does bhakti come from? Right? Do we have bhakti in our heart? Does everyone have bhakti in our heart?
To somebody.
Everyone? What is the constitutional position of a soul? Sachitananda, right? What, that's why bhakti. Anand is bhakti, right? But it is covered. So when the spiritual master, you know, or the devotee serve, they don't give you bhakti, they just water the plant. Bhakti rata beach. They water the seed on which the devotional service grows. So if you look at it in that way, then you know that everybody is devotee. But some are in a sleeping state. For example, you know, you are sleeping at home, right? And then you are dreaming that you are a king. You have got hundreds of servants around. You are living in a nice palace. And you are just about to take this prasadam, you know, which is the best of everything. Is made on a nice plate, you know, on a golden plate with golden spoons and everything, right? And you are just about to want that, right? I think it's time to go breakfast to you. And then a drop of water falls on your head, you know, and you wake up, you know. Right? And you wonder, what happened, you know? Then you realize that you're not the king, you know? You are living in a house which has holes in the roof, you know? And the rain has just opened you up, you know? Then you understand your true position, you know? Now if you look at it the other way, you could be dreaming that you are being chased by somebody, you know? You are hiding in the tree or something, you know? That somebody is just about to kill you, you know? And you are screaming, you know? And your night wife nudges you, you know. Wake up, what are you screaming for, you know? Then you wake up, oh, there's no one there to kill you, you know. You become happy. So, our dreams are like that. We are in this material world. We have just forgotten that we have a nice house, we have a nice father, we don't have to worry about everything. There's no death, there's no disease, there's nowhere. Right, there's no old age. These are the things that we worry about. Right? There's nothing in there. We are just in a dreaming state, in a sleeping state. So it is a devotee who actually wakes this up, wakes you up, tells you what is your true position is. That we are not supposed to be here. We are supposed to be with Krishna. We are supposed to, And by the association of devotees, then you can actually understand this and understand your true position. And then you can go back to Godhead. Okay, any comments? Any questions?
So, Prabhu, so you mentioned about different persons see a lot of different things in different ways. So, just few days ago, when Ramin in Kerala, so he installed Goddess Karunadevi. Goddess Karunadevi, named after the form looks like this coronavirus, like COVID-19. Named as Goddess Karunadevi, and he's doing prayers, dhati, and he's also, you can also call him and perform puja on your behalf, and he can also order prasad. So this is one class, and he sees one in Bharat also, Goddess.
People use all different kind of things. You know when, who is the president of US? Trump. When Trump won, there was a guy being puja for him also. there was a big thing going on, and he was doing full arti, everything, like that. And so many people were following him, right? You know, Hitler was also worshipped, right? Hitler was worshipped by a guy in India, and he used to make guns, right? So when the war started, he said, "This is very good. He's my God. He's increased my business so much, So there are different kinds of people who use different things, different means to worship. And these are the people who do not know who God is. And unfortunately, especially coming from an Indian background, we have been worshipping so many demigods, this one, that one. Half the time we don't know. In Fiji, they even worship ghosts. One of my brother-in-law used to worship ghosts. And he would literally call those persons on him. And you can see the personality completely changes. They don't even remember what happened. They're all weird kind of people. So to know, just like if you're sick and you go to anybody, I'm not going to fix you better. You have to go to a doctor. Just like another Prabhu was sick, he went to the hospital. There were people who knew what to do, And you can fix like that. So similarly, if you want to fix a problem of bad death, old age and disease, then you have to go to a Vaishnava. You have to find a guru, somebody who can guide you. And this guru is the devotees. It has to be a like-minded devotee. You can't just find any devotee. It has to be like-minded devotee to actually do that. put it in front of the camera so everybody can see. So this is what is happening around the world. So be careful. We understand the position of the devotee. We should respect them. And we should, and don't think that your wife or your husband who is at home, who is chanting 16 rounds, calling for principle is not a devotee. Only when you go to the temple, then you fall down on the ground, full dungeon, and say you are a devotee. Now we should respect all the devotees, especially anybody who is taking initiation. I have had so many devotees ill-treating their partners and things like wife and husband, and this is not right, Unfortunately, one thing we lack in our movement here is mentors, because we make devotees, bhakti, sastri, those things, we do so many of those, so many devotees becomes, but then they come to a level where there's no one to take them to the next level, and they start there, they learn something, and they start, for example, renunciation, vairagya becomes the main part of devotion. Actually, Krishna, it's mentioned that, vairagya is a hindrance to bhakti. Vairagya automatically comes, but more important than rather than renunciation is attachment to Krishna. And when you address to Krishna, then you can see everybody inside. Thik. Any other questions? Any comments? Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.